John Sewell would often begin the meditation by saying to develop an attitude of conviction and confidence. Conviction that this is a good path you're on, a worthwhile path, an honorable path. Are you being asked to do anything dishonorable at all? Are you having to sell your dignity in order to get by? Well, no. Nothing but honorable things you're doing, honorable qualities you're developing in your mind. As for confidence, confidence is you can do it. As the Buddha said, if people couldn't abandon unskillful qualities and develop skillful ones, there would have been no point in his teaching. The fact that he taught means that people can do this. And it's a path for human beings. It's a path for devas as well. But human beings can do this. This is why we have the verses of the elder monks, elder nuns. They weren't elders all the time when they were giving these verses. Some of them are quite young. Even children can do this. They set their mind to it. And the fact that you're meditating means that you have some merit, you have some goodness to you. Goodness in your background. So something you can do. Now there are times when it may seem difficult and long. But you can't really gauge how much longer the path is going to be for you. There's that image of the ads or the image of the chicken on her eggs. It's good to think about what that image means. Because we don't use ads as much anymore. Think of it instead as a pickaxe or a hoe. You use the pickaxe again and again, and you don't see things wearing down. But then there comes a day when the handle breaks. It looks like it did at the very beginning, but the stresses inside are invisible. The same with the handle of the hoe. Use the hoe to dig here, dig there. All of a sudden, the handle breaks. So you're just looking at the handles, you can't tell how much longer they're going to last. In the same way, you can't look at your practice and figure out how much longer it's going to last. So you keep at it. I don't have the attitude, well, I'll keep at this. I want to get this out of the way so I can get on with my life. Well, what kind of life would you have? Arahants continue practicing. They don't need to wash away any defilements anymore. But they practice contemplating the aggregates. They practice establishing mindfulness. They practice concentration as a pleasant abiding. It's a good thing to be doing. So even though they don't need these activities, they figure out these are the best things you can do with your life afterwards, after you reach the goal. So don't get impatient so you can move on. Where would you move on to? Being on the path is one of the best things a human being can do. You're looking for happiness in a way that doesn't harm anybody, doesn't place a weight on the world. So have some conviction in what you're doing. Have some confidence. Conviction this is a good thing. Confidence that you can do it. Then approach all the puzzles of the path, all the difficulties of the path with that attitude. That they're good problems to be solving. After all, what could be more interesting than your own greed, aversion, and delusion? The mind's tendency to lie to itself. You want to figure out why it likes to lie and why it likes to be lied to. What's going on there? You're creating suffering for yourself. And you're doing it willingly. Largely because you don't see the connection between your actions and the results. But here's a chance to develop your powers of mindfulness, your powers of concentration, so you can see the connections. Because the lies are not just little white lies that we tell ourselves. They're lies with consequences. People can suffer whole lifetimes based on a lie. So you want to dig these things out. Understand what's going on. So it's a good problem to be solving. And if you're not solving it as fast as you like, well, ask yourself how much time you've been lying to yourself over these many, many lifetimes. and devoting some time this lifetime to solving the problem. It's not much. This is one of the reasons why the Buddha has you think about the inconceivable beginning of samsara, how long this has been going on. So the path doesn't seem all that long after all. They say in the canon often, someone hears the Dhamma from the Buddha, goes off, and in no long time becomes an arahant. Well, how long is that no long time? Think of the case of Ratabala. He wants to ordain. His parents are against his ordaining. He goes on a hunger strike. And finally, his friends convince the parents, look, it'd be much better to have him as a monk than dead. So the parents give in. Ratabala goes off and in no long time becomes an arahant. He comes back home and his father doesn't recognize him. Time must have passed. The commentary says 14 years. In comparison with the inconceivable beginning of samsara, that is no long time. So get some perspective on what you're doing. You're doing something really good. And when you've mastered it, you just want to keep on doing it. In the meantime, you've been given the tools for solving the problems that your mind creates for itself. And you're free to do it. No one's forcing you. In this world of ours where so much force is used to make people do things they really would rather not do, so many lures are set out in terms of wealth, status, praise, sensual pleasures, due to things that are actually bad for them. Here you're not being lured by anything like that at all. You're being lured by the possibility of a harmless happiness, an unconditioned happiness, happiness that harms nobody. That's an honorable lure. So have some conviction. This is a good thing. Confidence that you can do it. Approach the whole practice with that attitude. And it won't seem long. It's when you step back from the practice, get out of the practice, and look down at the length of time you imagine. That's when it seems long. So when the mind is talking to itself in those ways, remind yourself, okay, that's the mind off the path. Get back on. Because the path is a good place to be.